At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, it's VSiN Tonight on a Friday night from the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Vegas. Will Hill, my co-host, and Dylan Sullivan of Circus Sports joins us in studio tonight. I'm going to call you the lead odds maker for the NFL draft. Is that proper?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you had big shoes to fill. Nick Bogdanovich did this last year for Circa. And Nick, I thought, did a hell of a job with the numbers a year ago. And I believe a year ago, Circa came out a little bit ahead on the draft.
Yeah, that's right. I think he did a little bit better than I did this year.
You never know. See, last year I lost on the draft, and this year was a big winner for me. So you never know how it's going to turn out. And I don't think it was your fault, actually, if Circa lost, because actually I thought Circa put up a lot of pretty good numbers on the draft because I watched him basically on a daily basis. Will Hill, welcome in here. And anything you want to grill Dylan Sullivan on the odds-making part of the NFL draft, because a lot of bookmakers whine about how difficult it is.
Which I always feel bad about anytime the books don't win. It just breaks my heart. But Dylan, I'm curious, same question I asked Matt earlier. Picks 1 through 5, 1 through 7, very predictable. A lot of chalk. Pick 8 is where we got the craziness. What's tougher when you're setting the draft odds? What's scarier? What's predictable or what's unpredictable?
I would say what's predictable is probably scarier, just because it's impossible to price it. We want as much variance as possible to give us a chance.
So you talked about what's predictable. That would be Jaden Daniels being the number 2 draft pick. That's pretty predictable, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, there's just no price for it.
Will?
What did you get beat up on? What's one market where you're looking back and you say, man, they really got the best of us here?
J.J. McCarthy was a tough one. The day before, I think there was a lot of rumors of him going to the Patriots, so we kind of trusted those a little too much. And obviously he didn't go. And then Romo Dunes was another one. I don't know if the Penix thing really impacted that much or not, but just the smoke of if the Giants really liked Neighbors or O'Dunes, we kind of fell behind on that one. And then we got hit by a bomb on Raiders' first draft pick being a tight end. That was really bad for us.
Was that 40-1 or what number?
We took a bet at 100-1.
100-1.
That's interesting.
That is a bomb. That somebody. By the way, how big was the bet, and did you just take one bet on it?
Yeah, we had $200 limits on that market just because of the index nature of it. So it was just one bet at 100-1, and I don't think we took much money at the lower prices.
Will?
Take us behind the curtain. What is your day like the week of the draft, monitoring all the news? Because I know one thing that moved the market, I'm trying to think of how difficult this would be to monitor, was Daniel Jeremiah goes on a podcast and talk about how Latham could go to the Chargers at 5. So it's not a tweet. It's not anything on TV. It's somebody goes on a podcast and that moves the market. How hard is it to just manage all of the news and all the different places the news come from?
Yeah, it's very hard. You have a handful of different guys with mock drafts. I think they had kind of a consensus that the Chargers were going Latham there on the last day or two. So again, it's one of those things that no matter what the price is, people are just going to bet towards what they just put out. And the only way to kind of get two-way action is by beating the other books to the numbers so you can get scalpers to kind of help you out.
Dylan Sullivan of Circus Sports with us, the chief odds maker for the NFL draft here. And so you said the bottom line for Circa for the draft would be a small loser, moderate loser, big loser. How would you qualify it?
I would put it somewhere in the medium range. It wasn't the end of the world, but would have liked it to be a smaller number.
Not enough that Derek Stevens called you up to yell at you about the draft?
Well, I haven't seen him today, so I don't know.
All right, so when you start this process and you're coming up with the numbers, draft position numbers, and all the stuff you're going to put up, how many mock drafts do you go through and read? What's the process for you when you're trying to make the numbers from scratch at the beginning?
Yeah, we're just looking for a somewhat solid starting point, looking at a handful of mock drafts, big boards, things like that, and then just finding a number where we feel like we can jump from up from an over or an under bet and feel decent about it. Basically, just trying to find like a middle range.
Will, you got a specific player in mind when you're making a player position prop that you saw a number, maybe at Circa or some other book that you thought was way off right off the bat?
No, but I do have to ask Dylan, the bombshell of the draft, Penix to Atlanta, Penix to be the, what, the third quarterback or fourth quarterback drafted. Did you take any of that? Was there a little bit like, were you like the rest of us where you did a double take? You said, wait a second, who picked what? What happened? What? Take us through the process of Penix going through Atlanta.
Yeah, that was by far the most surprising pick of the draft. We didn't have any like matchup sort of stuff or anything with him being fourth over McCarthy, but like his over under number was 32.5, so that was a massive surprise from the betting market standpoint. Then obviously that was a domino effect shaking up the rest of the early first round.
Yeah, I saw the 32.5 on Penix, and by the draft day before the draft, and you had to take it down. I think the under, which means he would be a first-round pick, was about minus 220. Is that right?
Yeah, I want to say we closed closer to minus 400 on the under. But yeah, it was close to pick him for most of the week.
So you're taking a lot of money on Penix under to be a first-round pick?
We actually won to that one.
You actually won to the Penix prop?
We won to the Penix prop. We kind of stayed ahead of it, but we just kind of followed the market down. And sometimes when you hear these rumors, you kind of make air moves and just try to get ahead of it without taking the bets.
All right, which player draft position prop were you a big loser on, or which number did you feel like, we thought we made a good number, but it turned out to be way off?
This is kind of a random one. Barton, the center from Duke.
Graham Barton,
I think there's a lot of confidence in him going 20 or 21, and he ended up going over all of his numbers, I think 25 or 26, something like that. So that was one that we got killed on. Another one was Byron Murphy. There's a lot of rumors on him going in the top 10 towards the end of the week, so we hung a good plus price. I want to say you could get over plus 300 or something on him. So, yeah, we took a handful of bets there, and he was a bad result as well.
Dylan, I'm curious.
Go ahead, Will.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask that. We've heard this a lot. Hey, the quarterbacks always slip. Play the under quarterbacks. That's been a way to go. But this year, it seemed like people kind of had a feeling Nix was going to go in the first round. His under got hammered. You mentioned Penix under kept dropping. Was the quarterback over-under prop, was the Nix prop, were those ones that got your attention? Like, all right, maybe somebody knows something here with Nix with his number moving the way it did late.
Yeah, that was one of those ones that we really trusted the under. That was actually our biggest winner of the whole draft, the Nix under. So we just had a consensus amongst the guys booking it that we really trusted the news to the Broncos, and luckily it worked out. But again, like, he was 32.5 and he ends up going 12, so it's just kind of a crazy market when some people really just don't know.
Dylan Sullivan, Circus Sports odds maker with us. And how about the quarterback prop 4.5 over? Obviously the price shot through the roof on that one. How much money do you take on a prop like that? What's the handle on that prop?
So yeah, we're taking 500 at a time, and I think that was probably the most handle of any prop on the entire draft. We probably had close to 100 limit bets on that prop. I don't know the exact handle amount, but it was just wild, and I think it closed over minus 800, something like that.
I assume that was a big prop loser.
No, that was good for us.
What?
Yeah, the whole quarterback.
Did Jonathan Von Tobel bet enough on the under that you guys won on that prop?
Yeah, we kind of went to war on that one. That one, Bo Nix and Penix, we just really trusted those ones.
Yeah, okay. Well, what props were big losers?
Every other one.
Yeah, everything else? What about wide receivers, 6.5? So three of the final five picks of the first round were wide receivers, including the last two picks, to push it over the total of 6.5 to 7 wide receivers.
I think that was a relatively small decision, but yeah, I think the way the end of the first round went, I think that was probably a little bad for us, but nothing crazy.
All Dylan, right. What is the process like? You take a limit bet. What's the process like of, okay, maybe this guy's just making a bet or maybe he knows something. You almost have to handicap the better. Hey, is this guy sharp? Does this guy usually have good information? How do you differentiate this is a bet or this is maybe this guy's got some info?
Yeah, you kind of have to handicap the better himself. That's the biggest part of it. But in the draft, you almost have to believe everybody knows something until someone else tells you otherwise. So you're just going back and forth. And every couple hours, the newest piece of info is the one you have to trust the most and restart. So that's what makes it really tough. It could be a guy you've never heard of popping in, and he'll try to bet someone over under like 5 or 6 times. And the first reaction just is, this guy knows something. He has no history with us. He's not known as a sharp bettor, but you don't have to be a sharp bettor to have good info in the draft.
That's a good way to put it. That's well said. So how much help do you get booking the draft? Because you can't stay on top of it 24/7. How many other people back there, how many other guys behind the book are watching the draft numbers around the clock?
There's like 3 of us mainly doing it. Jamie and Sean, 2 other guys in our office, and then Jeff Benson just sends info 24 hours nonstop. We have a draft thread for our group chat, and you don't go 30 minutes without Jeff Benson sending you a new nugget of info.
Jeff Benson all over the stuff, huh? Okay, that's great. Not surprised. That's Jeff Benson style. Will, one more question?
Dylan, final question for me. Are you happy it's over? Do you have an adult beverage once it finally ends?
Oh, yeah, I'm ecstatic. I had quite a few of them last night, just kind of getting over with the week. It was a long 2 weeks, just grinding nonstop.
I was on the app last night. I was waiting for you to post some second-round, third-round props. I was like, hey, come on, Dylan, where's the second-round props?
Yeah, maybe in another lifetime.
Okay. Are you going to do this? You think you're going to do this again next year?
Probably in some capacity. We'll see how it goes.
All right, now Nick Bogdanovich did it last year, and Dylan Sullivan, the chief NFL draft odds maker for Circus Sports this year. I know I can speak for bettors when I say I appreciate you guys putting up a big market of props, so, because a lot of Vegas books put up nothing.
Yeah, we had to do a little something for everyone listening right now. This is kind of like a charity thing we're doing. so, yeah, glad someone was happy about it.
Appreciate it. Follow him on Twitter, @ Dylan Sullivan. And thanks for coming in, man. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Will, let's talk some more NFL draft, NBA playoffs when we come back here in a couple minutes on VSiN tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, day two of the NFL draft is in the books. Back here on VSiN Tonight, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Matt Eumanns and Will Hill. And Will, we've got three rounds complete, and we got four rounds to go in the NFL draft. And let's recap our betting results here and what we put out on VSiN. I'm just going to talk about the documented plays. Put up a VSiN, which, let's see, I believe I put up 14 plays. VSiN, how about you, and how many did you bet? I made about 25 bets. I think I had 14 up at VSiN. How about you?
I'm trying to remember what I gave out where. All it was one I gave out on VSiN. I talked about the Jets taking offensive linemen. I'm trying to differentiate between what I bet and what I gave out. It went pretty well. I talked about Chiefs to take a receiver. So it's funny. I was on one show Tuesday. I did the Bear Pod Tuesday, and I talked about Knicks. I love him to go over. I don't think he's going to be a first rounder. And then I got a text right after the show. Hey, you're wrong about Knicks. He's going in the first round. That information turned out to be correct. So it was pretty good. I know you had a good draft. I'm like you. I had a bad draft last year. Told myself I wasn't going to go crazy this year. Then I look up before the draft, and I was like, man, I hope this goes my way, because I bet a lot more than I wanted to going in. And for me, it was just – is having a lot of books, and just the reason books don't like this, it's hard to keep up with the news, and it's just betting stuff that's slow to move. Like, it was Monday night where Daniels, all right, the news came out or whatever that moved them to 350 minus 400. And I still had a book like minus 180. So a lot of it's not even handicapping. It's just, hey, this book's slow to move. I'm going to pounce. You know, Diggs gets traded from the Bills. Okay, they'll probably draft a receiver. It's just, it's more things like that. Of you're not even handicapping. You're just being aware of the situations and having books and being on top of the numbers.
Yeah, and somebody might say, well, why did you only put out 14 plays on VSiN? You bet 25. Well, because sometimes these draft position numbers move so quickly, you bet it, and then 2 hours later, that number's long gone, and you don't want to post a play. I'm not going to post a play at a dead number or a number that does not exist. And I'll give you an example. Trey Benson, the running back from Florida State, I bet his draft position over 63.5. And 2 hours later, I would say 2-3 hours later, that draft position number was up to 77. So you can't post 63.5. Right. I'm betting over 63.5 when the numbers moved to 77. So a lot of those numbers move so quickly that you can't post the plays. But I did post 14 draft plays on VSiN and went 12-2 on those. Ooh. And one of the losses was the position of the Bears' second draft pick. That was number 9 overall. And I had the Bears at 9-1 odds to take an offensive lineman. I thought that would have been the smart way to approach it. In fact, I love who the Jets picked at number 11, Olu Fashanu, the tackle from Penn State. I thought that's who the Bears should pick, somebody like that. Well, they went with a wide receiver. And it's really poor value to take a wide receiver in the top 10. But, fans in the media get so fired up when you take a wide receiver in the top 10, right? You're going to get an A grade from all the draft analysts. The fans are going to go berserk and make great headlines in the paper and on the web. When you got a quarterback, wide receiver combo, everybody loves it. I thought the Bears would have been much smarter to go offensive lineman. That was my mistake, to think the Bears might actually be smart about their 9th pick. Also, the other loss I had was Terrion Arnold, draft position under 15.5, the corner from Alabama, top corner on the board. The Raiders were really interested in him at number 13. Obviously, they went with Brock Bowers, a tight end from Georgia, best player on the board in that situation. So 12-2 on the 14 plays. Those were the two losses. And I had a winner today on Jonathan Brooks, the first running back off the board. And Brooks, the running back from Texas, went off in the second round today, Will. And he was the only running back off the board through two rounds. Brooks went to the Carolina Panthers, who traded up to get him at number 46. They were trying to beat the Cowboys to the punch, because it was pretty obvious from some of the stuff I read that the Cowboys wanted Jonathan Brooks, which is why I bet him minus 120 to be the first running back. Panthers take him at 46. And then Trey Benson, who I mentioned, running back from Florida State, did not go off the board until the third round today. He was the second running back off the board. Benson went number 66 overall. So that was over that initial draft position of 63.5. But when that number moved to 77, that's why I said it was no longer a bet. Benson is from Florida State, second running back off the board, second pick of the third round today. Will, did you have any bets on today's? There wasn't much up there. DraftKings did a pretty good job of putting, I would say, a handful of draft props up there for day two. Otherwise, it was very hard to find stuff.
Yep, I agree with you. And it felt like markets were harder to find and info was harder to come by. I think everyone, you know, the people I usually get information from, it's just that, you know, how many people you get a bug. I feel like people, Dylan put it well, after the first day of the draft, everyone just takes a deep breath. Everyone kind of needs to unwind because this is exhausting. Betting this stuff, booking this stuff, doesn't matter which side you're on. I would like to complain about two losers I did have, though. Mm-hmm. Neither one I gave out, but two that I bet.
Sure.
I bet Murphy 14-1, first defensive player drafted.
Yeah.
I saw it close like plus 150 some spots. Loser.
That's a great bet. That was a great bet, by the way. 14-1. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
I know.
Yeah.
And Latham 20-1 to be the fifth pick. That closed. I saw one book at it plus 115. No chance. So it was a good night. It was a really good night, but it was almost a great night. That's just a case of good numbers you find, you pick off that don't get home. And that, again, the reason the books don't like it, you got to be the news moves so quick. Daniel Jeremiah goes on a podcast and he's like, man, I think I'm going to put Latham to the Chargers. That went from 28-1 at DraftKings down to even money within, that was Tuesday night to Thursday afternoon. You're talking less than 48 hours just because if somebody goes on a podcast. It's not even, you know, these guys are monitoring Twitter. Okay. They're monitoring TV. You got to monitor podcasts now where these guys go on. It's just information's coming from so many different directions. I understand why it's frustrating to book. I don't feel bad for them. They went on plenty of other stuff, but I do understand the frustration of trying to cover your bases with all the news.
Well, Wednesday night, Wes Reynolds and I talked about this on the show. Daniel Jeremiah put out his final mock draft. He works for NFL Network. He's a former college scout for a few NFL teams. But here's why the J.C. Latham thing moved so much. Jeremiah does color commentary for Chargers games.
Yep.
He's got sources within the Chargers. And he mocked J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama, to the Chargers at number 5. And everybody said, hey, he's got some information. Let's bet it. I had Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame, to the Chargers at 5. And I said, well, I guess I'm going to be wrong because Daniel Jeremiah has got some inside information here. Well, it turned out to be Joe Alt, the number 5 pick. Now, that was a big one for me because I was plus 475 on that prop for Alt. But Mitch Moss asked me a good question this morning. What's the key for you when you have that much success in the draft? Well, last year the dominoes kind of started falling the wrong way from the start. This time the dominoes fell the right way from the start. And I'll tell you what I thought the key was for me in getting a lot right was that the Patriots took Drake May at number 3 and did not trade because I really needed J.J. McCarthy not to go in the top 5. I played him over 5.5. And I needed the Vikings to draft J.J. McCarthy. I needed Joe Alt to go number 5. So the fact that the Patriots did not trade out of 3, that made those dominoes fall the right way for me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to get the draft off to a great start, then hit a bunch more prop bets on draft positions later on. But I think, Will, last year you and I, negative results for the draft. This year, very positive. But I would say a year ago, the key for it going wrong was that a couple picks in the top 5 went against me, and then it felt like you were fighting an uphill battle all night.
You used the right word there, domino, because, hey, if you're betting stuff, top 10, first players drafted, things like that, these are super correlated, which is the danger of betting the draft. Now, look, if you get it all right, it's positively correlated, but it's almost like when you're betting Super Bowl props, where you bet your props based on how you think the game's going to go. And if the game doesn't go the way you're going to go, you could lose a whole bunch of bets and you don't realize there's some hidden correlation there. You know, if you're betting a bunch of over props and it's a low scoring game, you might be in some trouble. And same thing with the draft, where if one pick goes off kilter early, that could change what the other teams are doing. And your whole idea of the draft gets busted and all your bets kind of go down because one team goes rogue and goes different than what you thought. But fortunately for you, fortunately for us, it kind of stayed on path. No trades, nothing disruptive. May go in third. There was like we talked about, there was some huge McCarthy steam, but once May stuck, it was pretty status quo from there until we got the absolute shocker of all shockers and Penix. I was trying to think, and we're always subject to recency bias. That might be the most surprising top 10 pick of all time. I know Reggie Bush and Mario Williams, that was a surprising one. Ricky Williams, Edgerrin James, a surprising one.
Hey, let's revisit that topic later in the show, because I got a couple for you. It's going to take us more than 1 minute to talk about it. Right. And also, Will, one other thing I want to mention that went right was I played the position of the Jets' first draft pick, offensive line at plus 120, and also played Brock Bowers' draft position over 11.5, gambling that the Jets would not take Bowers, the tight end, at number 10, and they would be smart and go offensive line. So that helps when the Jets played it the right way and went offensive line, and then Bowers went over the prop number. Did you play those?
Just Jets offensive line.
Okay.
I was worried Bowers was going to go there. I really was, but I'm happy they didn't.
All right, we'll talk about the most surprising top 10 picks here later in the hour, too. And Jonathan Von Tobel of VSiN is going to join us in the final hour to talk NBA playoffs. Will Hill and I are going to take a look at some of the NBA playoff games on Saturday, and also talk a little bit of hockey as well. The defending Stanley Cup champs in action on Saturday, up 2-0 against the top seed in the West.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, VSiN.com is the place to go. That should be your first stop when you're shopping for sports handicapping information. Adam Burke's got his MLB best bets up. He has them up every day at VSiN.com. We're also going to have NBA and hockey betting content up there as well. VSIN.com. Check it out. New look front page, much improved, and a lot of great content up there every day of the week. Will Hill, Matt Eumanns back here on VSiN Tonight. And, Will, we're just going to talk hockey for a minute because neither you nor I are a big hockey bettors here. But Wes Reynolds and I talked about this spot. Game 3 in the Western Conference. Number 1 seed, Dallas Stars, down 2-0 in the series, on the road in Vegas on Saturday night. Vegas minus 118 at DraftKings. If there's going to be a spot here to play the Stars, I think it's got to be Game 3. When they're backed against the wall on the road. And the one thing I'll say about the home advantage in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Will, it doesn't seem like it means as much as it does in the other sports. And we saw that, I guess, with the Vegas Golden Knights going on the road and taking 2 from the Stars to open the series. I'm not saying this is going to be a big bet for me, but I'll probably play Dallas at plus 105, 108, 110, somewhere in that range, thinking that the top seed's probably not going to get swept out in the first round, even though we have seen that happen before in hockey. Is this the circle the wagons type of spot where you think you would bet the Stars?
I would think so, and you mentioned it. Home field in football is huge, and basketball it's huge. Baseball, it's a little muted. We saw last year, was it Houston, Texas, where the road team won every game. A few years ago, Washington, Houston, in the World Series, the road team won every game. So it's not big in baseball, not big in hockey. Let me ask you, though, since you're in Vegas, do you get a better number like right at post with people just hammering Vegas if you're betting the other side? You do? Okay.
Yeah, because that's one thing I would do tomorrow night is wait to see if this number gets bet up and then try to get the best number possible on Dallas before the puck drops at 7:30 Pacific on Saturday night, because you got to think that a couple of the books in Vegas that take a lot of local action are going to be higher on the Golden Knights than some others. Circa's probably not going to be high, but there are a couple other books in town that you would categorize as square books that are going to take more action on the favorite in Game 3 tomorrow night. Now, the other thing I'll say about this, Will, you and I were talking about it. I know some sharp bettors that did like the Dallas Stars in this series before it started. They're down 2. If you're going to bet them, you're going to bet them in Game 3, aren't you?
I would think so. What do we have for a series price, too? Do we have that in front of you? Probably getting a decent bang for your buck here. So I don't know if you know.
Vegas, I checked, Vegas about minus 450 in the series.
Yeah. Is that enough for you to come back the other way on Dallas?
No. First of all, I don't bet a lot of hockey. I'm just looking for the one game spot where Dallas might be able to get back in the series. After watching the first two games, I don't think Dallas is going to come back and win the series. Can they win Game 3? You got to think that's the spot, right? When you're a situational handicapper, don't you look for spots like that? And this is one of those where the top seed down 2-0 is in that so-called must-win game. So that's what we're talking about.
I would agree with that. I don't know enough about hockey to have watched the first two games. Not that I watched a lot of them. I had them on and peeked in here or there. Did they lose the first two games? Were they kind of fluky, or were they thoroughly outplayed, where it's something where you'd be concerned going into game? I don't have enough knowledge about the sport to really know that.
You're asking a lot of questions. I don't have all the answers for that for hockey, but let's put it this way. The first game was a little bit fluky. where the Knights, I thought, got outplayed and still won the game by one goal. And game two was not fluky. The Knights outplayed the Stars in game two. So
gotcha.
Let's end the hockey discussion, move on to the NBA.
Got it.
We got four games in the association on Saturday. Boston Celtics, 9-point favorites at Miami. Now, Will, 23 three-pointers the Heat made in game two. No Jimmy Butler, 14-point underdogs, and they win by 10 in Boston. How do you explain it? Well, the 23 threes, any team that makes that many is going to probably win the game. But without Jimmy Butler, that's a pretty impressive feat by the Heat.
Yeah, and I think
are we going to see shooting regression here in game three and a bounce-back performance by Boston?
I would think so. I'd be very concerned if you didn't. And even if you do see Boston win the next two, win the next three games, and win this series easily, game two still got to stick in your head for a further series, whether it's the Nuggets, Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, there's still that version of Boston where, man, you just don't trust them. And you could say, okay, it was shooting luck, whatever. Okay, yeah, I agree. Miami's probably not going to make 23 threes, probably not going to make 54% of them or whatever they made. I saw the stat, 26, I think, uncontested threes. So there was a schematic thing where somehow Miami was able to generate open looks, which you wouldn't think with Boston, and they're great defenders. They're a good defensive team. And Miami, they don't have any shot creation with no Butler, no Rozier. There's not a lot of guys you're worried about beating you off the dribble. So kind of inexcusable for Boston to give up that many open looks. I think a lot of that is coaching. I would think Boston would bounce back. I just think this is, I mean, you look at the rosters. I mean, Miami, I know they do more with less than these other teams, but my goodness, this is a much better Boston team than it is Miami. I thought Boston would sweep. I would expect them to bounce back. Don't you, if you do like Miami plus the nine, don't you have to sprinkle a little on the money line with just how bad Boston is at these end of late game situations? So I'm not in the habit of laying nine. I don't want to lay nine on the road. If I was going to make a bet, I'd probably go back to Miami team total under, figuring Boston will clamp down on the defense and Miami just doesn't have a ton of offense. But I don't trust this Boston team. I don't know how you do, and I'm curious. I think you probably feel the same way I do.
I don't trust the Celtics either, but we had Aaron Renning on the show last night, professional sports bettor from Vegas. ER is very sharp NBA handicapper, big better. And he said he's on Boston in this spot. Okay. So, no, I'm not going to bet the Heat money line. I was leaning towards taking the points with the Heat, but also I probably wasn't going to do it because anytime a team shoots the lights out from three, I like to fade the team a lot of times in the next game. So when you're talking about a Heat team that shot 23 for 43 from three, what do you think they're going to shoot in game three? I would say something like 12 for 35 or something like that. I would expect some shooting regression, and I don't want to play Miami off that red-hot shooting performance where you knock down 23-3. So I'm probably going to pass on the game, but I'm far from sold on the Celtics. I don't like Joe Mazzulla as a coach. I don't think Jason Tatum's a clutch fourth-quarter guy necessarily. And something's just a little bit off with this Boston Celtics team. So, but you also made a key point in the first hour. Who's going to knock them off in the East? I'm not sure any other team in the East is good enough to take them down, right? Because the East is very flawed, basically, from top to bottom.
Yeah, we're a long way from there, but if we ever got to a Denver-Boston final, Boston would have home court. I'd be very interested what they make that number, because I remember they played pretty late in the season and Boston was like a 1-point favorite in Denver, which surprised me. So I do think we'll get that final ultimately, and that will be interesting. Again, I don't know who's beating Boston. When you look at the Magic and the Cavs, the Knicks are a nice little upstart team, but do they really have the talent to do it? That'd be a hell of a conference finals to get the Knicks in the Garden. The Garden would be rocking if that was the conference final. I do think Boston comes out of the East, but that game the other day, we've seen too many of these from Boston the last few years where just inexplicable losses. And it's interesting with this Boston-Miami series, and you mentioned Aaron laying the points. Home court has not meant a lot because they met in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row, and then they met this year. The road team has done very well in these series. I think it was 5-2 last year. They're 5-2 or 4-3 the year before, where it just doesn't seem to matter who's home. These teams play better on the road for whatever reason.
All right, well, I said four games in the association on Saturday. How about the Orlando Magic, 2-point favorites over the Cavs? OKC, either a 1-point favorite or a pick'em situation against the Pelicans in New Orleans. Any interest in you in those first two games preceding Boston-Miami?
Yeah, but the Cavs were pretty lucky the NFL draft was on, because that was a horrendous performance on Thursday night. I mean, they act like they win three championships and you just roll out the balls. Oh, we're the big bad Cavs. We can just come here. They got absolutely blown out by a team that's not exactly the 98 Bulls and the Orlando Magic. I would look at it under 201. It went way under the first two games, and then it creeped over late just because of garbage time. Both those teams, I mean, specifically Orlando, not great on offense. They're good on defense. A lot of components conducive to an under. Plus, that's an early start. That's a 10 a.m. Pacific start. NBA players are creatures of habit. They play late. They sleep late. They eat late, wake up late. A 1 o'clock starts pretty early. So I always like to play those early game unders, and the defenses of both teams, I think, lend themselves to an under. And what'd you say? The next game was Oklahoma City, New Orleans. I feel like Oklahoma City gets a split in New Orleans, which is all they need. They can go home and win it in five. I think I picked Oklahoma City in five. I still would stick to that. Maybe New Orleans gets a game. We see these teams a lot of times down 2-0, come home, crowd's fired up. They get the game three, and then, you know, they might lose game four, and then it ends in five. But I do think New Orleans probably gets a game. I don't know that Oklahoma City's at that level where they get both of them. So I would lean towards New Orleans on the money line. I don't know that I'll bet it. I might, though.
Hey, you think that Cavs performance is poor? 121-83, 38-point loss in game three. We'll see how the Cavs respond to that. And how about Saturday night, the Nuggets and the Lakers? Are the Lakers going to put in a big effort to try to extend their season? You would think game three would have been the spot, right? And they got off to a fast start, faded in the second half. We've seen that from the Lakers in all three games. I feel like you got to play Nuggets or pass here. What do you think? The Nuggets probably want to finish off the Lakers and go home and rest. And why do the Lakers want to go back to Denver?
Yeah, Lakers are out of gas. They blow double-digit lead after double-digit lead. Denver's just better. I think Denver probably wins.
Denver minus three right now. DraftKings 3.5 at most other books. And that's the late game on Saturday. Nuggets and Lakers as the Nuggets try to sweep the Lakers for the second straight year.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the association. All the way through the finals, DK Sportsbook has got you covered with same game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5. You get $200 in bonus bets instantly. The code VSIN, only on DraftKings. Bet now. All right, Will Hill, let's talk some NFL draft. I'm going to take you all the way back to 1999. What do you remember about that draft?
I remember that was the Ricky Williams draft. I remember Edgerrin James got picked ahead of him, and Joe Theismann saying, Ricky Williams is pissed. He has to be pissed. And then that's when the trade happened with the Saints. So that was a shocker. I know we all have the recency bias, but I remember watching that live, and that was an absolute, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that just happened. Ended up being a fine pick. James is a hell of a player. I think he's in the Hall of Fame, but not that Ricky Williams wouldn't have been good in Indy, but that was an absolute stunner too.
All right, so you were talking earlier in the show about the worst top 10 picks ever. I covered that draft. I was a Chicago Bears beat writer at the time, and they took Cade McNown, the lefty quarterback from UCLA, at number 12. Bust. but not as big a bust as the quarterbacks taking 1 and 3 if you consider the draft positions. How about Tim Couch, number 1 overall to the Browns? And this is even worse, Akili Smith to the Cincinnati Bengals at number 3.
Well, that was a draft. There just weren't any good quarterbacks in that in those rounds. Oh, wait, that was the draft with Tom Brady, so you could have gotten him a little later. Yeah,
Donovan McNabb actually went number 2. Yeah, he was in the sandwich between them.
He got booed. I remember he got booed heavily that pick, right?
Yep.
By Philly fans. So that was a tough one. Yeah, I mean, I brought up Penix. It's not a good pick. I use the word surprising, though, where you're watching, like, oh, my God, I can't believe they picked that guy. That's just – that was an absolute stunner when you consider Cousins, the money they gave Cousins, Penix's age, the reach on Penix. It's almost – it's such a ridiculous pick. I almost don't want to criticize him because everyone else is doing it. You just feel like you're piling on. But I don't know how you make a case. And we're starting to see some of the newsbreakers, the guys that work for NFL Network, you know, you know all the names, start to say today, well, now they have insurance, now they're defending the pick. And that's how these guys, they get their information. They carry the water for these front office guys, but no defending that pick.
Yeah. You know, and we saw it last night with Adam Schefter putting out the tweet about how Sean Payton was this close. He had identified Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback he wanted in the 2016 draft. And before they could turn the card in at number 11, the Chiefs traded up to number 10 and took Mahomes.
Of course.
By the way, do you think the Buffalo Bills regret that, trading that number 10 pick to the Chiefs in 2016?
Only every single day when they wake up, yeah. And look, if you loved Mahomes so much, maybe you like Mahomes. But if you loved Mahomes so much, not like he went first or second. I mean, you had a chance to jump these teams and take them. And I'm just suspicious. If Mahomes ended up being Paxton Lynch, would we hear now how much they loved Mahomes? It's such a reason. It's what we call betting. It's what we call a pass post. Hey, I loved him. I don't know if you've ever seen the 30 for 30 on the 1983 draft with all those quarterbacks. All those guys, they loved Marino, but they got overruled. I wanted to pick Marino, but my GM, my owner wouldn't let me.
Right.
It's so easy after the fact to say who you would have picked. It really is.
You know, I love the White Sox tonight, Will, but I didn't bet it.
Yeah, I loved them on the alternate run line, too. Yeah. I just, crazy.
We'll parlay the White Sox in the over tonight. Thinking about it all day. Didn't get there in time to make the bet. That's the type of stuff that is. But if Sean Payton loved Mahomes so much, he's sitting in the 11th spot. Why don't you trade up a couple spots to number 9 and get him? That's the thing. That's why I'm not buying that BS. I know that I did know before that draft that Payton was interested in Mahomes because I was doing a lot of work on that draft. And I saw that Peyton was working out Mahomes. I said, well, they still got Drew Brees, who at that point was hanging on. That's interesting. But if you like him that much, trade up a spot, right? We saw the Vikings trade up one spot last night to get J.J. McCarthy from number 11 to number 10. Why didn't Sean Payton do that? Anyway, we're segueing to what Sean Payton and the Broncos did at number 12. And I don't like it. I don't think you like it. And it surprised a lot of people. The draft position for Bo Nix was 34.5, and he went number 12 to the Broncos. Value is a word that's overused by a lot of, I'm going to say, talk show hosts when you're talking about sports betting. But you have to approach, I think, the draft like an advantage gambler in a sense and say, okay, if I could get Bo Nix at 28, why would I take him at number 12? You're not getting value in Bo Nix at number 12. Do you think Sean Payton was afraid that some other team was going to draft Bo Nix if he didn't take him at 12?
I'm not sure. I guess he looks at it and says, hey, all these other teams have quarterbacks in the AFC. I have to deal with Mahomes twice a year, Herbert twice a year. Now Herbert's got Harbaugh. You know, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Rodgers. I mean, you go down the line, it's just loaded. Stroud, there's so many great quarterbacks. I need my guy. And if he feels Nix is that guy, I get it. I guess he talked with Belichick. Oh, my God, you can't believe how good this guy's workout. We can criticize Peyton and say he's pass posting about Mahomes. He still knows more football than me, so I do have some respect for his opinion. We'll see. That's going to be an under for season win totals. I don't know how you go in that division, that conference with Bo Nix. I still remember Auburn Bo Nix. I still remember some of these games he's had where it doesn't look the part. So we'll see. I think that the Broncos will be an under for me. I think the Raiders will be an under for me too. I mean, they didn't come away with a quarterback here. You're going to go in there with the group you had last year. I just don't think if you don't – it's haves and have-nots in the AFC. If you don't have one of these really good quarterbacks, well, you better be really good on defense. You better be good in these other areas because you're going to the game at such a massive disadvantage. So Broncos will be a team I'm looking to fade.
Yeah, probably me as well. You've got Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, and Bo Nix three horses competing for the top job in Denver. Maybe one of those guys turns out to be a good quarterback. But, you know, I will say this, too, and I kind of like the trade that Sean Payton made with the Jets to pick up Zach Wilson. You talk about a guy who was a top three pick in the draft 2 years ago, and you're getting him essentially for like a sixth-round pick. Well, why not take a shot? I thought probably the Raiders should have done that. Somebody who's got a quarterback competition. I like what Payton did trading for Zach Wilson, basically pennies on the dollar, and just throwing him into the competition, say, okay, let's see how you could do with Jarrett Stidham and Bo Nix. Even though he made the trade right before the draft, he had Bo Nix in his sights. Pretty good idea. I'm sure Sean Payton had that he was going to draft Nix. So you throw Zach Wilson in the competition, why not? You really didn't have to give anything up for him. It's one of those low-risk type of moves. So I do kind of like that. But I'm with you here. When you look at the AFC West, the Chiefs have had a great offseason. The Chargers are having a really good offseason. Raiders haven't done a whole lot. The Broncos haven't done a whole lot, in my estimation. And the Raiders and the Broncos are going to be two teams that I would probably look to fade as well. When you look at the Raiders, Will, they had a lot of momentum when Antonio Pierce took over last season. And I think the players were really trying to win games for him. They were playing hard. They got on a roll. They started to have some success. I think the schedule broke the right way, and that they caught home games against the Giants and the Jets, who were both pathetic at the time. And they got a couple wins and a little confidence, and they got things rolling in the right direction. How's it going to work in year two with Antonio Pierce, with Gardner Minshew as your starting quarterback, and you're going to start to hit some rough waters and you got a tough schedule? I think the Raiders might be in for some tough times. It's going to be interesting to watch because I think Penix was the quarterback the Raiders had their sights set on. Even at number 13, that was the guy they wanted. And the Falcons taking Penix kind of turned things upside down for the Raiders. And they ended up going with Brock Bowers, who, the more I think about it, the more I like the pick, the tight end. No, he's not a big need, but he's a guy, when you've got weak quarterbacks, you got to surround them with weapons. I think Brock Bowers in that offense for the next 5 years, who knows, is going to be a real asset to the Raiders, so I kind of like the pick. But don't you think they were probably banking on Penix being the guy they wanted in the first round, speaking of the Raiders?
Makes some sense. Again, I'm sure the Broncos, Raiders, they're probably wondering, hey, can we get some of this conference realignment we see in college football? Can we get that in the NFL? Get the hell out of the AFC West? Because I don't know. I mean, that's 4 year games against Mahomes, Herbert. You're just going against these really good quarterbacks. So much of the game is the quarterback. Good luck. And look, it was a nice end to the season. The nice win against on Christmas against the Chiefs. Very dangerous, though, when you buy in these interim guys. These interim guys can look good for 4 or 5 games, especially when they hate the former coach. I mean, you and I could have been coaching the team. They would have been happy to play for us. It's hard to find anyone who had a good word to say about McDaniels. I think the fact that Pierce just wasn't McDaniels helped him out too. So
sure.
I don't know. Not very optimistic on the Raiders, not very optimistic on the Broncos.
All right. You know what? It feels like for me with Jim Harbaugh is when he went to Michigan and Ohio State was the bully on the block, and it took Harbaugh a few years to knock him off. The Chiefs right now are the bully on the block in that division. I think the Chargers are going to be on the rise. They're not going to get them this year, but the Chargers are going to close the gap. I think they're going to close the gap, Will. And,
well put.
Huh? You know, the Chiefs have won the AFC West 8 years in a row.
Predating Mahomes, a year or two before Mahomes even got there.
Eight straight division titles for the Chiefs. All right, final hour tonight. We're going to talk a lot of NBA playoffs with JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. VSIN is in studio with us, and we're also going to have our best bets for Saturday. Stay tuned, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.